Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
I want to start this morning with the verse that's kind of been the theme of this sermon series from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Which says this. It says, his intent, meaning God's intent, was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's a lot of words, but that's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because that verse changed everything for me. Because when I read that verse, I realized that God has chosen to partner with us as the church to accomplish his purposes in the world. See, God is all powerful. He could do anything he wants. He could force everyone to become followers of Jesus, but instead he partners with us. And that's such an incredible thing to me. So today we're going to be diving into the last week of this. So the first week we talked about, we want to be a church of intentional discipleship. We want to do a great job at making people followers of Jesus. The second week, we talked about strategic engagement. How are we engaging in relationships here at the Bridge and outside of the church as well? Last week, Gordon shared, and we talked about being a generous people, being generous with the message of Christ, and being generous with our finances. And if you missed any of those, I would really encourage you to listen to those. These are formative messages about the new season of this church that we're in. And this week, we're going to be wrapping up talking about selfless service. We want to be a church of people who contribute rather than just consume. Part of being all in with this new season means giving of yourself to change people's lives. So we're going to jump right in this morning, and I want to give you three reasons that I'm encouraging you to get involved with serving, selfless service here at the Bridge. And the first thing I want you to know is that God has given you unique gifts. God has given you ways to serve this church that he hasn't given to anybody else. And if you don't step out and do the things that God has gifted you to do, there's nobody else that can do them. No pressure. No pressure, guys. I want you guys to know that every single one of you was created with gifts that you can contribute to the body of Christ. Paul uses this language over and over in the Bible where he calls the church the body of Christ. Maybe some of you have heard this. Especially if you've grown up in church, you've heard the church referred to as the body. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul really develops this analogy. And he starts talking about how our physical body is an analogy to the body of Christ. So in chapter 12, verse 14, Paul says this. He says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. This is our physical body. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. And Gordon did such a great teaching on that, on those gifts last week. But what Paul is saying here is that sometimes in the church, we kind of decide that some gifts are more important than other gifts. So we think, you know, if I could sing like Mariana, or if I could play piano like Kubiat, or if I could, you know, preach, then, you know, those are just really important gifts. But I can't do those things, so probably my gift isn't important. And in using this analogy of the body, Paul's kind of saying, you know, sometimes with our physical body, we elevate some parts to more importance. Like, we spend a lot of time maybe on our skin or our hair or our outfit to make us look, you know, thinner or whatever it is. But we don't spend a lot of time thinking about, for example, the second to last tooth at the top of our mouth, right? Probably none of you have given that thought. Hopefully you brushed it today. But I'm sure that none of you polished it up and made sure that it looked really nice. We haven't thought about that tooth. But if that tooth was infected, that's what you would be thinking about right now. So when there's a part of the body that's having an issue, all of a sudden the entire body is affected by this and we notice it. We know that medically, if one part of the body has an infection, we have to get medicine for that. Otherwise, the infection can spread and actually kill us, no matter where that infection starts. If any of you have ever had a cold, and you just, like last week, I had a cold, and it was just my nose, but my whole body felt terrible. And I was like, I'm fine. It's just, I just can't breathe through my nose, but I'm fine. But my whole body felt it. Do you guys know what I'm saying? Every part of your body is important, and you notice it when it's not there or when it's not functioning properly. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. Not one of us is more important than the other. All of us have to work together, and when someone isn't doing what God has given them the purpose to do, we all suffer for it. The entire body suffers for it. Paul often describes Christ as the head of the church. And for this analogy to work, we have to understand that the head can't function without the body. Jesus has chosen to depend on us to accomplish his purposes in the world. It's an incredible responsibility. It's an incredible privilege that he's entrusted to us in this way. He's chosen to partner with us to reach the world. And I want you to know that when Paul told us that we are the body of Christ and that through the church God would accomplish his purposes, what Paul meant was you have a responsibility in making that happen. Each of you has a responsibility in making that happen. When I was in my early 20s, I was a youth leader with the youth group at my church. It was a really large church, and a new youth pastor came, and he was doing leadership training with us. And he told us this story of a kid that was in his old youth group. And he read us this letter. And he said, basically the kid told him, "You've really changed my life. And every time you spent time with me, it went a little further in changing my life and making me who I am and all of this." And as he was reading that letter, God began to stir something in my heart. This idea of mentoring, this idea of spending a lot of time with a person who needs more of Jesus and helping them to become more whole or more restored or whatever that is. And I began to say, "God, if you'll send me somebody to take care of in this way, if you'll send me somebody to mentor, I'll do my best to do a good job at it." I was really excited by this idea of mentoring somebody. And sure enough, a few weeks later, a young girl in the youth group, you know, I think her boyfriend broke up with her, crying, you know. But God opened the door for me to begin to mentor her. And it changed my life. It changed what I feel like my purpose is here. See, the cool thing is, when you start walking in what God has called you to do, other people benefit from that. It changes other people's lives, and you start to discover who God has created you to be. God is so good to us in that way. And so a lot of people want to know, how do I find out what I'm good at? How do I find out what my spiritual gifts are? Well, you can go online. We have it on our website too. You can take a spiritual gifts test, and it tells you what all of your spiritual gifts are. Or you probably already know. Okay? Most of you probably already know the thing that God has made you passionate about. You know, as you think about this church here, For those of you who aren't plugged in and serving yet, there's probably an area of the church that you're like, man, I could really do a good job at that. Man, I'm really good at singing with motions, and I would be a really good preschool teacher. There's a reason I'm here and not there, okay? Or you might go, man, I'm really good with technology, and I wonder if they could use my help on the sound team. They could use your help on the sound team, guys. And maybe some of you are talented musicians or vocalists or whatever it is God has given you. You don't need to take an online test to know what the passions are that God has given you. You already know. You just have to step out and do it. Okay? I know in my life I take those tests and they tell me what I already knew. But it's kind of confirmation. So let me tell you, you have permission to move forward in the thing that God has given you a passion for. If you want to spend your time taking an online test, feel free, but that's free for you today. I want you to know that most of the time, if you have a passion for something, that's what you're called to do. The second thing that I would use to encourage you to serve today is that Jesus did it first. Jesus taught us how to serve, and he modeled this for us. You see, the thing about Jesus is that we serve a Savior who served us instead of demanding our servitude. During his time on the earth, Jesus had these disciples and all these followers. They would have done whatever he told them to do. Whatever crazy thing he said, they would have done it. But he constantly served them. He taught them. He told them stories to expose to them the kingdom of God. He fed them and he washed their feet. Jesus has modeled to us that there's no such thing as superiority in the kingdom of God. To become the greatest, you have to become the least. The book of Philippians illustrates this so beautifully, where it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Man, that'll kill your superiority complex, you know? Jesus humbled himself and became human to serve us, to rescue us from our sin, and to conquer death so that we could have life. I'll tell you today, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. If you want to know the key to great relationships, here it is. Do your best to outserve each other. I'm not married, so I don't know, but I have a feeling that like when you're trying to outserve each other, when you're both trying to do better than the other is serving each other, that's a key to a great marriage. In your friendships, in your relationships with your coworkers, try your best to outserve each other. We try to put that into practice on our staff. We try to outserve each other. And I'll tell you right now, nothing kills the root of selfishness in your life like serving other people. And I can tell you that because I'm a selfish person sometimes. Okay? A lot of humans are. If you're not, tell me your tricks. But for me, sometimes I get so worried that I'm going to be seen as below somebody else that this root of selfishness starts to rise up in my life. And when that happens, I have to intentionally kill it by becoming a servant. So, like, one thing that really bugs me is when you're getting on the metro or you're getting off the metro and someone just shoves in front of you, you know? Like, I take the metro to the same place. I know where to stand on the platform so that the doors will open right in front of me, you know? And sometimes someone comes, some tourist comes, all their bags, and they shove in front of you, and you're like, oh, and they get the seat, you know? You know, on the RER, like, the one seat with no seat next to it? That's gold right there. and someone shoves in front of you, or they shove in front of you and the doors close, man, that makes me mad. And it starts to boil up into this superiority thing for me. Like, I'm better than they are, and I deserve that seat, or I deserve to be on the escalator before them. And what I have to do is I have to start intentionally serving people and putting myself behind someone and saying, you go first. You know, helping the mom put the stroller onto the train instead of trying to squeeze on, you know, behind someone else before she gets on, or whatever it is. I have to do this intentionally in my life. I have to intentionally become a servant. Another thing in my life where this is illustrated is when the dessert comes at the restaurant when you're with your friends. Okay? One thing I hate, man, is when you're there with your friends and one friend says, let's all order a different dessert so that we can all try each other's. You know? And I'm like, whoa. I came here and no one's putting their spoon into my dessert. I'm eating the whole thing myself. Is anybody with me on that? Don't taste my food, man. But this is an area of my life I can be very selfish. So when this happens, if I feel this, that I'm annoyed with my friends because they want us all to share, which is what good Christians should do, I'm intentional to go, here, try a bite of this. Here, give me your spoon. Try this. Marilyn's dying over here. I have to be intentional to make myself share and be a servant because I want to continually kill the root of selfishness in my life. And if you're not intentional to kill it, it will take root and you'll become a selfish person. So I want to encourage you today that when we follow the model that Jesus laid out for us, which is serving one another as an act of love, not to get anything in return, but just as an act of love, it begins to make us more like him. The third reason that I want to offer you on why I would love to see you engage in serving here at the Bridge is because we have the opportunity to bring hope and healing into the lives of the people around us. We have the chance every Sunday to bring eternal change into people's lives by showing up and doing what God has asked us to do. Everything we do here at the Bridge is about the message of Jesus. Everything we do here is so that people can come to know Jesus. Now, I bet all of you have a person in your life and you would love it if they would come to church with you. Maybe you have a friend or a sibling or a coworker or a son or a daughter and they're far from God. Or maybe their life is broken and you're just like, man, I'm just desperate for them to come to church and hear the story of Jesus. For me, that person is my Uncle Danny, my mom's brother. He lives in West Virginia and he owns a bar and he's a good man, but he doesn't know Jesus. And my mom prayed for him his whole life. And I would just, man, it would make me so happy if he would come to church. And if he came to visit me in Paris and he said, you know what, I'm going to come to your church on Sunday. Oh man, I've been waiting for this for years, right? And many of you have somebody in your life that you've been waiting for years for them to be open to the message of Jesus. If my Uncle Danny walked in the front door, I would want there to be somebody there with a smile on their face that shook his hand and say, wow, it's so nice to meet you. We're so glad you came to church today. That's what I would want him to walk into. If he took his children down to Bridge Kids, I would want his children to be received by a volunteer who was excited to see them. And after service, I would want them to say, oh, we had such a good time today singing and learning about the story of Jesus. I would want him to walk in here and instead of sitting by himself, I would hope that people would come to him and ask him his name and hear his story. And I would hope that he would enjoy the music and that he would be able to sing along with songs he doesn't know because someone showed up to put slides on the projector. I've been begging God that my Uncle Danny would find Jesus. And you know what would make it happen? Is all the people who show up on Sunday mornings who make church happen. That would make me so happy. And many of you have someone in your life that you would be so happy if they came to church with you. And can I tell you that the church will not be what you don't put into it. If you want this church to be a place of warm and welcome, then you have to be a person who is warm and welcoming. Because I believe that if we do well with other people's friends and family members, then when our friends and family members go to church, God's going to take care of them. We have to pour our lives into this place so that people can come here and hear the story of Jesus. A couple years ago, I was having dinner with a couple at the church, and they had been coming to the church for quite some time. And the husband of the couple, he said, "You know what the problem with your church is?" And I was like, whoa. I said, "It's not my church. It's our church. It's our church. And if you have a problem with our church, then you have just as much ability to solve it as I do. Isn't it amazing that God has given us that ability?" I don't want you guys to see this church as my church. I want you to see this church as our church. We're all in this together. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, this is in the Message version, which is a little more casual language. Paul says, "This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He's used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation, and now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home." God is doing something here at the Bridge. God is doing something here on the west side of Paris, and each one of us has a part. He's building the church brick by brick and stone by stone, and he has a place for you in that. I want you to know that if we're going to give of ourselves, if we're going to practice selfless service, we can't just do it for the church we have now. We can't just think about where the needs are right now. We have to think about the church in a year or 5 years or 10 years. We've been dreaming some big dreams on our team lately. And I want you to come along with me, and I want you to dream about what could happen if we were to get a building on the west side of Paris that we could call our own. We could decorate it the way we wanted. We could use it to bless the community, teach English classes, and host small groups throughout the week. I want you to imagine the possibilities that that would afford to us. I want you to imagine our size growing exponentially. Not because I want to pastor a huge church. It sounds exhausting. But because every person who walks through the doors of this church have the opportunity to hear about the hope and the healing of Jesus. We can say we're not about numbers, but every number represents a soul that matters to God. And I want God to entrust them to us. I want God to use us to bring hope and healing to this city. I want you to imagine your family members and your friends. I want you to imagine the most broken person you know coming and meeting Jesus at the Bridge. I want you to imagine with me your children. I want you to imagine being old, very old and weak. I know you love to imagine that. But I want you to imagine your middle-aged children who are right now downstairs in Bridge Kids saying to you, "Mom and Dad, do you remember the Bridge? Do you remember Bridge Kids? Man, 1 week I was down there and we had our tribe time and a volunteer prayed for me and they taught me how to pray. I want you to imagine your grandkids being raised in a home where faith and prayer are as normal to them as breathing, because your children have been discipled in an environment that made them lifelong followers of Jesus. That's what I want you to imagine with me. I want you to imagine supporting missionaries who are taking the gospel to places that could cost them their lives, but they're willing to do it because people need to hear the message of Jesus. I want to support those missionaries. I want to support missionaries who are rescuing women and children from being trafficked. I want us to have the ability to do that, and I believe that God wants to do that through us. I want you to imagine new congregations springing to life in every different language, in every different culture of worship, so that they can reach the people in their language groups with the message of the gospel of Jesus, and us being able to resource and expedite them so that there's a network of churches in Paris reaching every tribe and every tongue with the message of Jesus. Guys, if we want to go somewhere we've never gone, we have to do something we've never done. And it's going to require something of all of us. It's requiring something of me. It's requiring something of this team. And if you want to be a part of this, we're asking you to come all in with us. I want to close with a story today about a volunteer who changed my life. My parents were raised in West Virginia, which is a state in the U.S. It's a beautiful state full of mountains. And often at the low point between the mountains, you'll find a community of very poor people. And that's where my mother was raised. Her mom died when she was very young, and her father abandoned the family. She was raised by an abusive aunt and uncle. She had a very sad, very dark childhood. And when she was 11 or 12, one of her friends invited her to come to church for the first time in her life. So she went to church, and there's no public transportation where she's from. So there was a guy at the church who drove a bus. It was an old school bus, and he would drive it around and pick up anybody who wanted to come to church. And that was the only way my mom could go to church, because her aunt and uncle were not going to take her to church. She was too young. It was too far to walk. And she told me that every Sunday he would come and pick her up in the church bus. If she was the only kid, he would still come and pick her up every Sunday. She said most Sundays she was the only kid on the bus. But every Sunday she knew he was going to come in that church bus and take her to church. No one else cared if my mom went to church. Her family didn't care. None of her friends went to church. But church is where she met my dad. Church is where Jesus healed in her everything that had been broken. And I think about that bus driver, and I think, man, if I was him, I would have felt like a failure. What a failure of a ministry to have a bus ministry that picks up one kid. You don't know the dividends of your obedience. You don't know what God is going to do through your life. That bus driver was just faithful to what God asked him to do. He was just faithful. It wasn't impressive. It wasn't, no one ever wrote an article about him or anything like that. He was just faithful to what God asked him to do. And I'm here today because of him. I'm here today because of my third grade Sunday school teacher. She was a woman, and she taught us about the Bible. And she taught us that if God called us to do something, we could do anything because he gave us the power to do it. She's why I'm here today. I'm here because of a network of people who were never at the front of the room, who gave beyond themselves, and their lives are paying dividends in eternity. I want to encourage you guys today that whatever it is that God has put on your heart to do, just do it. God isn't asking you to manage the results of your obedience. He's just asking you to step out in faithfulness. This morning, we're going to prepare to receive communion. And We gave you a booklet coming in that said, join the dream team. The dream team is what we call our volunteers here at the Bridge. And if you look through this, you can see all of the areas where people serve here. And we have a lot of faithful people on our dream team who serve well. But what I want you to know is that every team, it's about getting the message of Jesus out to people. It's about bringing hope and healing into people's lives, people like my mom, maybe people like you. We want you to be a part of this. And as we prepare to receive communion, I want you to consider today what might be holding you back. What might be stopping you from doing what God has asked you to do? What might be stopping you from moving forward into obedience in the areas of ministry that you see needed here?
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.